From the high ground of Texas, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Buenas tardes, damas y caballeros, bienvenidos. Welcome. It is, as always, a great day to be a Texan. You're listening to Pratt on Texas. I'm your host, Robert Pratt. The number to reach the show, 800-687-0790. At the top of the stack on today's Pratt on Texas, what's happening with the Keystone XL pipeline? Our good friend, Dr. Merrill Matthews, has a piece about the mysteries of the Keystone in today's USA Today. We'll talk with him at the top of the next hour of the program. We've got a fun announcement regarding a longtime show sponsor. In fact, individual's going to be in the super secret True Texan studio here in a little while to talk to you about it, and that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. A Texas teacher union local objects to competition between teachers. That's a bad thing. They want merit pay going to all equally as the socialists they really are. And my friend, South Texas farmer and Uvalde Mayor J. Allen Carnes is announcing his bid for Texas Agriculture Commissioner today. He joins us in just a moment. Again, the number to reach the show, 800-687-0790. One little announcement before we talk Texas, and that is that we are indeed involved after, almost 8 years, 7 years, something like that, of migrating to a new website platform for better content management. And so if you go to the site, it's up right now, but it'll probably be down soon, and it may be down for a day or two. And so just be aware of that. You won't be able to register for firearms classes or anything or look up today's Texas news. It's just going to take a little bit of time, and I'll give you an update on tomorrow's program. We're doing a legal migration, my friends, of our website. Now, let's talk Texas, and let's begin with a guy from South Texas who is a farmer. He's a mayor. He's 38 years old. And the first question to ask him before we get into the race for ag commissioner in Texas, the GOP nomination for ag commissioner, is, Mr. Carnes, is it Allen? Is it Jay? Or is it Jay Allen?
You know, Robert, it's great to be here this afternoon. I mean, thanks for having us on. And, you know, that's one of the first questions that I always get from everybody. I tell people that I think my parents gave me the first name of Jay without an A-Y, without a period, because they thought I might have some spelling difficulty later on in life, and they wanted to give me a heads up. So, no, it's J. Allen. Allen's my middle name, and I've gone by that ever since I was a little kid running around. And so you'll find us on the website under J. Allen, and that's something that we're proud of, and it speaks to who we are a little bit.
It's the letter J, folks. And, hey, I know that. My own father's name is A.C., capital A, capital C. And there are no periods in that because that's how they wrote it, just the initials. We've been around a little while.
Grandpa's name is D.C. He's D.C. So I know exactly where you're coming from, and something I'm proud of, but something that's definitely a conversational piece.
Now, speaking of your family, you guys have been involved, pretty heavily involved in agriculture of every type. I mean, I found one story on you out of the Packer, which is people in the high ground of Texas. In my home county of Floyd County, used to grow a lot of vegetables, still do, and grow some pumpkins, but not a lot anymore. But the Packer's a big news source for everything produce. And they say, winter garden grower launches bid for Texas Ag Commissioner. And your family has been, you're actually a farmer, and you guys farm from fresh produce to cotton, don't you? Tell us a little about the operation and the family history there in South Texas.
Yes, we do. We do a little everything. I mean, my family goes back to the early 50s when my grandfather started the business. My dad, after college, came back to work for him. Early on, we did some vegetables, but we were primarily cotton and grains, and have a cotton gin down here in South Texas that my grandfather started. In the early 90s, and throughout our farming organization, in the early 90s, my father started a vegetable shipping operation. And when I got back to the family organization after college, that was where I put my shoes down, put my boots down, so to speak, and really began working in the vegetable sector. And so, yeah, I'm pretty well known throughout the vegetable sector. That's not the only thing we do, obviously, but it's where I spend a lot of my time and a lot of my ag policy time that I've worked on and issues throughout that industry. So, yeah, I'm known in that industry. We're familiar with each other, but our family has ties in a lot of different things. I grew up on a ranch. My father kind of he decided when I was a young kid that we could only get it from one side every year. So he chose farming over ranching. But, you know, I have that part of my background also. We've done a little bit of everything and then very proud of what we do, obviously.
You said today in your big announcement rally that you'd like to be the de facto mayor of rural Texas. Explain that.
Well, you know, in looking at this job, you know, of course, I think you know that this job is one of the only jobs outside of some of the judicial jobs in the state that you have to have a resume to apply for, to try to be elected for. And looking at this job, one aspect is, yes, it runs a regulatory agency, but another aspect of it, it's a selling point for rural Texas. It's a selling point for agricultural Texas. And that's what my job is here locally. You know, I'm selling our community. I'm pushing economic development. You know, I'm worried about our infrastructure needs. I'm worried about what our water resources look like in the future. And so when I get around the state and I talk to mayors in Marble Falls, Texas, mayors in El Campo, Texas, I realize that a lot of the problems are the same, but a lot of the solutions are the same also. And so, yeah, it has the feel of being the de facto mayor of a rural part of Texas and working on those issues together, working on partnerships where, you know, we can come up with real solutions for real Texans.
You made a point, J. Allen Carnes announced today as for a race for the Republican nomination for Texas Agriculture Commissioner. You have made mention in the recent interviews and today that that this office is often used as a stepping stone. We've certainly seen that many times, as any big office can be. But you seem to want to tell us whether we can believe it or not, because we've heard it before, that you're really focused on the ag industry, you know, agriculture and ranching, farming and ranching, and that's your call to serve. You've been involved politically locally, but not like your announced opponents so far with State Rep Brandon Creighton of Conroe, who's a lawyer and also a rancher, and then Eric Opiola of down from Carnes County. I know his family, and but he's, you know, been working in the Republican Party of Texas and places. You kind of come in from the outside of the political circles. Expand on that, and you know, what should people really believe you that you're not looking for a stepping stone?
Well, you know, we've been really fortunate in the Republican Party since the high power debacle of the mid '80s to have three. Yeah, and when you bring up that name, you get a lot of chuckles. You are right. But we've had
all of us old enough to remember Hightower. Remember what he was one of the big. He and Gary Morrow and some of the big antics that made sure that Texas became a Republican state. For those of you too young to know,
yeah, I know that was a great. He was actually, you didn't realize it at the time because the industry had to jump through a lot of hoops while he was the ag commissioner. But it probably was a great thing for us going forward. We were lucky enough to have three great commissioners after that, but they've also been really good political figures. They've been really good at what they've done, and they have gone on to higher office. People have liked who they are. They've liked some of the decisions they've made, and so they have migrated on to higher office. And so, unfortunately, we kind of have that stigmatism with this office that this is a stepping stone. And, you know, I tell people all the time that, you know, I have a career. My career is in agriculture. You know, I started some of my local politics, our local elected politics foray, because of some of the needs that I saw that we needed in rural Texas. I didn't start that because I wanted to be an elected official. I've got a career. My career's in agriculture. And so I'm not looking at the future at all. The future does not concern me right now other than this race. I want this job. I think this job is very important to sustaining Texas and the growing future that we have, and making sure Texas remains, the image of Texas remains 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now.
J. Allen Carnes, a candidate for the Republican nomination for Texas Agriculture Commissioner, we're almost up against a hard break. Can you hold on for a little bit in the next segment with us?
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This segment of Pride on Texas is sponsored by Texans for Fiscal Responsibility. Become a more knowledgeable and empowered Texan with EmpowerTexans.com. We're visiting with Jay. It's the letter J, and then Alan Carnes. He is the owner of Uvalde-based Winter Gardens Produce, family farms, cotton, ranches, all kinds of things involved in the produce business. He's the mayor of Uvalde. He has announced today his bid for the Republican nomination for Agriculture Secretary of Texas. I know we're going to visit with Eric Opiella soon on the program, and probably Creighton at some point. And I want to ask, first of all, before I get to the really tough questions that nobody else in the media seems to know enough to ask, I want to ask you if you would, Mr. Carnes, give out your campaign website name.
My website name, we launched it today. Please go there and check us out. It's jcarnesfortexas.com. I think people will love what they see, and it's got a different feel to it, and we invite you to go there.
All right, I'm doing it. Folks, we're in the middle of migrating our website after 7.5 years or so, so I can't put the link up at the proudontexas.com site. And I have looked at it. Really nice. Jalen Carnes for Texas. Competent, conservative, and committed. Now, everybody says they're conservative. I want to ask you this question. I want to ask you about underground water rights. You know, folks there in the South Texas and Rio Grande Valley, they tend to be more concerned with water rights and the river system from the Rio Grande and allocations and local irrigation districts they've created. And it varies from place to place across the state. But, of course, the high ground of Texas, the largest single cotton patch in the world, is dependent on the Ogallala Aquifer. And the Texas Constitution, Mr. Carnes, says that that underground water, you own it. You own it. And it's your property, and you can use it. The Supreme Court of Texas, much to the chagrin of all the Austin insiders and even some of the interestingly non-property rights-oriented ag lobby, much to their chagrin, reaffirmed that position. But they didn't define what a taking is, and the water districts and government planners and people who think it's their job to save our property for our kids instead of letting us worry about that are all saying, well, we're just going to go ahead and put meters, charge you, put access rules, and then let you sue us and decide what a taking is. And that could last 20 or 30 years. Hell, that original case made the Supreme Court, one of the people died before it was ever heard. I want to know your thoughts on the ownership of water and what government's role in that is, and whether government ought to be, whether you're going to fight for landowners and property owners to be able to use their stuff, or you're going to support these government schemes that sound good but abridge private property rights. So I'll give you the rest of the time to talk about it.
Well, you know, that's a real issue that we face in Texas right now. You know, if you go back to the 1950s, and you look at some of the land my grandfather acquired and some of the land my father acquired soon after him. I mean, we're farmers. We acquired it because we are irrigated farmers. We're not dryland farmers. We're irrigated farmers, and we acquired it because it had sufficient water. And that was the main reason. I mean, you know, I think that's a very important thing to realize going forward, that the landowner, I mean, that's the reason they have purchased this land. That's the reason they have looked at it.
Yeah, I've talked about that on the show, Jay. That it's part of the price of the land. And if you exactly regulate and say you can't use it, you've had a taking right there from the landowner, because they paid for that land. Land that has water on it costs a hell of a lot more than land that doesn't have water under it.
And, you know, the problem that we run into sometimes, you're exactly right, the problem that we run into sometimes when we have state officials looking at what we're doing out in rural Texas, what y'all are doing up on the High Plains, what we're doing in South Texas, they automatically think that farmers and ranchers and rural people aren't good stewards of the land. And, you know, we were the first people to conserve out there, because we had to, because it was our bottom line. It was what our crop looked like at the end of the year. It was how expensive it was to get that water from out of the ground up on the High Plains. It's getting your water levels getting deeper and deeper, and it's coming more and more costly to pump it up to the ground where you can use it to water crops. And so, you know, we had to look at conservation because we had to make sure it fit into our bottom line and it was there for tomorrow. They automatically assume that we're not going to be good stewards with that water right that's there for us. It's there for our businesses. It's there for us to be able to be productive members of our communities, and have productive economic growth for our areas. You know, that I think you've hit on a real issue that Texas faces going forward in solving our water issues and whose water actually is it, where it comes from. And, you know, I'm being the mayor of a small community that deals with San Antonio a lot, you know, I'm really worried that we run into an issue statewide where we see a Rob Peter to pay Paul type of mentality. You know, what we need to be doing is looking at alternative ways to develop water that's not used right now, brackish groundwater, desal plants, and so forth.
I think we will move forward on that, but I want to try to pin you down a little more specifically. Do you support these schemes of local water districts to measure and then essentially through fines or otherwise restrict a landowner's ability to use his own water or charge him money to use his own water?
I think we have the responsibility as a landowner to conserve for the future, but I also think it is our right to manage how we conserve. And so there are a lot of schemes. There are schemes that I'm very familiar with and dealing with, you know, some state agencies, you know, and around our area. We're very regulated because of what went on in the early 90s with the Edwards Aquifer Water.
Right, the Edwards Aquifer Authority.
Yes, and the statute that got put in place. We are I'm in stage 5 here locally. That means the Edwards Aquifer cuts back my water usage by 44%. Well, that basically means that I'm producing 44% less of a crop. I have 44% less of a impact on my community. So there are some very concerning examples out there, and it should be extremely concerning to Texas landowners, Texas producers, and the people that produce the food and fiber source for our state, and it'll allow Texas to be what it is. So, I mean, I think this is a huge issue. I think
Well, Jay, let's talk. We're going to hit the bottom of the hour break here. It's a hard break. I want to have time to say thank you for coming on the show today. Best of luck on the campaign trail. We'll talk about this issue again here on Pride on Texas. The website is Jay Carnes, the letter J, jcarnesfortexas.com. Thanks a lot, Jay. Best of luck out there on the campaign trail. Stay safe.